Ever wonder if a deal you make today could sort of tie up a property for generations?
It's a really fascinating question, actually.
Yeah, and it brings us right to this legal knot we're untangling today, the rule against perpetuities, and we're using a key case, St. Regis Paper Co. v. Brown, as our, our guide.
It's a rule with, well, a pretty long history. And for everyone listening, even if you're not deep into property law just yet, understanding it is surprisingly quite relevant.
How so?
Think of it as a safeguard. It's about making sure land can be freely bought, sold, developed. You
Oh,
know,
yeah.
it stops old agreements from just hanging over ownership forever. The law really doesn't like the idea of the dead hand controlling things for way too long.
Right, the dead hand. Okay, so let's unpack this core idea then. The rule against perpetuities, sometimes called RAP.
Yeah, RAP, much catchier.
It basically says property interest can't be locked up indefinitely. Generally, it's something like the lifetime of someone alive now plus 21 years. Is that about right?
That's the classic formulation, exactly. It might sound abstract, but the practical side is huge. I mean, imagine if someone could set things up so nobody was sure who really owned a piece of land for like 100 years.
Total chaos.
Exactly, that uncertainty, it would stifle everything. Who'd invest? Who could get a loan? RAP is designed to stop that kind of long-term cloud on the title, keeps the property market moving.
Makes sense. So the law wants clarity that doesn't like maybe hanging over ownership for too long.
Precisely. It wants land to be freely used, freely transferable.
Okay. So our mission for this deep dive is to see how this whole principle played out in, well, a real-world situation, a long-term lease with a purchase option. We'll dig into St. Regis Paper Co. v. Brown, the facts, the legal question, and, why the decisions still matter.
And what's interesting here is how it puts RAP right in the middle of two things that seem like they should work together, leases and options to buy.
Right. Leases are usually temporary use.
But purchase options, they can permanently shift ownership. That tension, that's where the rule often kicks in.
Got it. All right, let's set the scene. What actually happened in the case?
So we're talking about St. Regis Paper Company. Way back in the late 50s, 58 and 59, they signed these two really long timber leases.
How long?
60 years, a good long stretch.
Wow, okay.
But here's the kicker. Both leases gave St. Regis the option to actually buy the properties.
Yeah, okay. So not just leasing, but a potential purchase down the road.
Exactly. But they couldn't exercise those options right away. They had to wait at least 12 years into the lease term.
So the option for the 58 lease wasn't live until 1970, and the 59 one until 71.
You got it. Just pause on that for a second. 60-year leases, and the option doesn't even pop up for over a decade.
Yeah.
If St. Regis waited till the very end, near the end of the 60 years, to buy, well, that's potentially shifting ownership almost half a century after the deal was first made.
Okay, yeah, thinking about that 21-year window we mentioned,
Yeah.
that timeline immediately jumps out. That's way beyond, isn't it?
Yeah.
A very long maybe.
You nailed it. That huge time frame is exactly where the trouble started. The landowners, or maybe their heirs by that point, they sued. They wanted those purchase options thrown out, arguing they violated the rule against perpetuities.
And the first court agreed.
Yep, the trial court sided with the landowners, said the options were no good.
Which naturally led St. Regis to appeal.
Of course.
So the core legal question for the appeals court was pretty much, can a purchase option inside a long lease be voided by RAP if it might be exercised, way past that 21-year limit?
That's the heart of it.
And the Georgia Court of Appeals, what do they say?
They said, yes, absolutely. Those options, void, they ran smack into the rule against perpetuities.
Okay, so a clear no to the options, but why? Let's dig into the court's reasoning.
Yeah.
What made these options violate the rule in their eyes?
Well, they went back to basics. First, is there a property interest here? A purchase option gives the holder a future right to get full ownership, the fee simple. That's a major property interest.
Can't get much bigger than fee simple.
Right. Second, when could this interest vest, become certain? Here, the options couldn't be used for 12 years and could be used any time during the next 48 or 49 years.
So potentially vesting up to 60 years after the agreement was made.
Exactly. Miles beyond that 21-year benchmark, and crucially, it wasn't tied to the lifespan of anyone who was alive when the leases were signed.
Ah, the measuring life part.
That's critical. The rule often talks about a life in being plus 21 years. Think of it like a clock starting based on someone alive when the deal is done, plus roughly a generation.
Okay.
Here, there was no specific person whose life set the deadline for St. Regis. It was just tied to that super long lease term, that lack of a a relevant living person to anchor the timeline. Big reason why the options failed.
That makes sense. But what about, say, lease renewals?
Mm.
You often see long leases with options to renew, sometimes seemingly forever. Why are those generally okay, but these purchase options weren't?
Great question. And the court tackled that directly. The key difference is the type of interest. Lease renewals just extend the right to use the property temporarily. It's still a leasehold interest. But a purchase option, that holds the potential for the actual permanent transfer of ownership, the fee simple.
Ah, use versus ownership.
Precisely. RAP is much more concerned about those long-term, uncertain future ownership interests because they really tie up the property's alienability, its ability to be sold freely. It clouds the title, makes it hard for the current owner to sell or plan.
Gotcha. So temporary use extension is one thing. Potential permanent ownership change is another beast entirely for RAP. Now, did St. Regis try any other arguments? Like, couldn't the court just say they had a reasonable time to exercise the option?
They did argue that, yeah. They asked the court to basically imply a shorter, reasonable time limit instead of just voiding the options completely.
And the court's response?
Didn't fly.
Huh.
The court pointed out that the parties agreed to these 60-year terms themselves. For the court to just step in and rewrite the deal, that goes against freedom of contract.
Right, you made your bed.
Kind of. They also cited Georgia precedent, Turner v. Peacock, I think, which required applying RAP strictly. The court basically said, look, we can't just fix your agreement because it bumps up against this established rule.
Tough luck for St. Regis then.
Mm.
The court stuck to the traditional rule. Okay, zooming out, what are the big takeaways for people listening, especially maybe law students?
Several key things. First, if you're ever drafting or even just looking at an agreement with a purchase option, especially inside a lease, remember, RAP is a real hurdle.
Uh-huh.
If that option could be exercised way out beyond that life and being plus 21 years window, or if there's no measuring life and just a long fixed period like here, you're in the danger zone. The option could be totally unenforceable.
That's a practical tip. If you want a purchase option to stick, you either tie it to a measuring life plus 21 years or make really sure the exercise period itself is clearly within 21 years from the start.
Exactly right. And this case really highlights the policy behind RAP. The law wants land marketable, transferable. It dislikes these long-term, maybe interest-clouding ownership. Clear title is key.
Now, for students finding RAP, maybe a bit headache-inducing, how does St. Regis help? Does it make it clearer?
I think it does, yeah. It's a pretty clear real-world example. It shows RAP applies quite directly to purchase options and leases. No special exceptions just because it's part of a lease. If it could vest too late, it's void. Simple as that, in a way. It cuts through some potential confusion.
What about today, though? Is this just an old case, or is RAP still kicking? Do states still follow this strict line?
That's important. Many states have changed the rule, often with wait-and-see approaches or other reforms. But Georgia's approach here shows the traditional common law rule still has teeth in some places.
So even with reforms?
You still need to understand the original rule, the common law foundation, to grasp what the reforms actually do. You need the baseline.
Okay, so quick summary of St. Regis. The paper company lost its purchase options. Why? Because within those long 60-year leases, the options could have been triggered way too far in the future, violating the rule against perpetuities.
Nailed it. Hmm. And the practical takeaway is clear. Watch those timelines for vesting. Look for a measuring life. Make sure any option fits within that 21-year window from its creation, if there isn't one.
Absolutely. Well, next time on our deep dive, we'll actually explore some of those reforms, like the uniform statutory rule against perpetuities, and see how that changes things. Until then.
Keep those interests vesting properly. And maybe a final thought to chew on. Think about this case as a balancing act, right? Between long-term planning and keeping property freely transferable, where else do you see that tension? What other long-term agreements, even outside real estate, might bump into similar ideas about preventing indefinite control? Something to think about.